Bruising the Serpent's Head. Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. I'm going to open up prophecy from Genesis to Revelation regarding bruising the serpent's head. It says in the book of Ecclesiastes, what goes around comes around. There's nothing new under the sun. What has been done will be done again, only it will change. It's a cyclical idea. That the eternal circles, the wheels keep turning, and the revelation keeps either expanding the circles, the gyroscope, and keep moving towards that end, which is eternal, the Alpha and the Omega. We're going to look at women and the role they are playing in these last days. Now, God is using them on the very front line, in the very place of the serpent's oppression, to bruise his head. We will start with the Genesis scripture. I'm going to be working out of two texts, the New King James Bible and the Complete Jewish Bible. I'll start with the Jewish Bible in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And this is after Adam and Eve had transgressed against the Lord God Almighty and ate the forbidden fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they heard the voice of Adonai God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. So the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Adonai God among the trees in the garden. And Adonai called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I ordered you not to eat?" And the man replied, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." And Adonai God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman answered, "The servant tricked me, so I ate." And Adonai God said to the servant, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the livestock and wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and eat dust as long as you live. And I will put animosity between you and the woman and between your descendant and her descendant. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pain in childbirth. You will bring forth children in pain. Your desire will be toward your husband, but he will rule over you." Now, let's talk about the redemptive aspect of this and what it means about this prophecy. Okay, first, and there's a lot behind this. There are books written on this. So I'm going to just bring, this is an up-to-date. This is in August 4th, 2017, in the year of Jubilee, in the shaking of the nations, in a Kairos-appointed time where God is raising up women full of Jesus Christ, full of the Spirit of God, full of the revelation of Jesus by the Spirit, not by intellectual head knowledge, tree knowledge, to bring forth the kingdom, that this enmity between her and the serpent that deceived her is now coming forth in truth. And she will bruise his head in the very Middle East, where he is trying to destroy her and her seed. Her seed is Jesus Christ. He, out of the seed of the woman, came forth the seed, and he, in the woman, is going to bruise the head of the serpent. It says right here. "I will put enmity," it's very specific, "between you and the woman." It doesn't say you and the man, Adam. It says you and the woman, Eve. "And because she was deceived by him, he tricked her. And between your seed," the woman's natural seed, "and her seed," excuse me, not the woman's natural seed. The woman's natural seed that's under the influence of serpent seed lines. Okay, I will put enmity between you and between your seed, that's the serpent's seed, those who are under the carnal thought, the natural man, the way they think it should be, and her, capital S, seed, which is the Messiah, Yeshua, the knowledge of truth and the Holy Spirit operating in and through her, not the head knowledge where she was deceived, but the birthing of the Messiah. Between that seed, he shall bruise the head of the serpent. Someone who walks in this bruises the head of the serpent, and you, the serpent, shall bruise his heel. Whose heel? The Messiah's heel. And where was it bruised? It was bruised and crushed at the cross, at the foot of the cross. And who was at the foot of the cross? Who came to the foot of the cross when the Messiah was crucified and his blood was shed to bring, make that way back into to fellowship with God that we lost through our sin and disobedience? Jesus' blood at the foot of the cross. Who was there? There was one man, John Mark. One man. And the women. Well, only one disciple. All the rest of the disciples fled. And all the women who were taking care of his needs, the Messiah's needs. They were, you know, they reached into their purses. They gave food, clothing, shelter, all these things. And they were with him and his mother. His mother, who was symbol. Hang on a second. Sorry for the interruption there. All right, here we are back to bruising the serpent's head. Who was at the cross? The women. The women went through the suffering. They went through travail. It is almost as the travail of childbirth. And Jesus refers to this in Philippians, that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That after a woman has suffered, when she sees the joy of the birthing of a child, she forgets her pain and labor. She forgets the women were faithful. God has seen, because of the enemy's deception, now those who are full of Jesus and walk through him, walk that bloody road of Calvary, that road of cruelty, and where? At his feet. They were at his feet when they were crucified. His feet will bruise the head of the serpent. And where was that head bruised? In Jerusalem, outside the city gates. He was bruised and crushed. Psalm 22 and Isaiah tells us. Is it Isaiah 59? He was bruised and crushed. 54, sorry. He was bruised and crushed for iniquities. And by his stripes we were healed. He took our transgressions on him. And he was blameless. He was innocent. He took our place. This is our Lord. This is the Messiah. This is our Redeemer. He came at first time to suffer and take our place in sin. To all those who believe and received his gift, he gave the right to become the children of God. So everyone else out there, although they were created by the Father Creator, they are not the children of God. Some of them are serpent seed because they're following their natural man, their knowledge of good and evil, their understanding. They are not born again by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and truth. These are the children of God. They walk in the light. And they understand. And they walk with Jesus. And Jesus walks with them. He walks with them all the way to the book of Revelation, in which the unveiling, Revelation, the apocalypse, the unveiling of Jesus Christ is in process with great signs and wonders in this time and in this era. And this is about the woman in the heavens. And this is a Revelation 12 star sign. Okay. But I'm talking about the specific role that women are played, because in Asian cultures and additionally in Middle Eastern cultures, women are really, you know, they're second rate. Their husbands rule over them. This is how they are. They're considered not on the same level, you know. Islam teaches, two women are worth the testimony of one man. What's a woman's half a man? a woman's a half a man. Let's look at this great sign in the heavens. And she was clothed with sun on her feet and her moon, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was pregnant and about to give birth, and she screamed in the agony of labor. All right, this cosmic sign is actually taking place in the zodiac of the heavens in September on the 23rd, of which we are really aware of, those of us who were aware. And then this dragon appears, and this sign in the heavens, it appears at her feet. And this great red dragon is, of course, that old serpent, because it says so in this text. And she gave birth to a son, a male child. This is the Messiah. The virgin gives birth. This talks about Yeshua's birth. It's in the heavens. Who will rule all the nations with a staff of iron. But her child was snatched up to God in his throne, and she fled into the desert, where she has a place prepared by God that she can be taken care of for 1260 days. And there's this huge battle in the heavens. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought back, but it was not strong enough to win. So there was no longer any place for us in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown out, that ancient serpent, also known as the devil and Satan, the adversary, the deceiver. Oh, there's his qualifying mark. Oh, the woman said, it's the serpent. He deceived me. The deceiver, the liar of the whole world. If you're walking in lies, you are your father, the liar. He was hurled down to earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. And then, oh, I heard a loud voice. Listen, let's talk about the liar. Let's talk about Islam in the Middle East, the Fertile Crescent, where all this is supposed to have taken, where it has taken place. We're not sure of the exact location. There's various conjectures. Some say the very place that the fall of man happened was on, where the Temple Mount is now located. And now there's this ISIS and this Islam of lies. Tell them anything you want, just as long as you get your way. It's called, I can't think of the name right now. It's not Jazeera. Anyway, it's a, and I'll think of it later. I'm not fluent in Arabic, but it's a tenet of Islam where lying is acceptable in order to get what you want. But this is what I have to say about Islam and this serpent that's come in. You know, there's a lot of serpent worship in religious. The Yazidi Kurds worship serpents. The Egyptian worship serpents. There's a lot of serpent worship. If you just worship me, I'll give you what you want. I can with confidence say that in ancient Babylon, serpent worship was at the forefront of the ziggurats and all of that. But even Muhammad, see, the Quran is broken into two parts. First part is, oh, aren't we nice? Listen to the people of the book, you know, the Jews and the Christians. Read the book, El Kitab, la, la, la. Come into their communities. And the second half of the book, the bipolar book, it's okay once you've rooted yourselves in their communities or, you know, their relationship, then you take them over and you cause them to submit. Islam is submission. And that's, there's a lot to that. We won't continue on that track, but the idea is it's through deception that Islam operates. And what's the issue with that? Well, even Muhammad himself, even the descendants of Muhammad, no matter who they were, if Muhammad was standing there, I would try to persuade him to become a follower of Yeshua, the people of the book, El Kitab, of the Spirit and Truth, and to put aside that, whatever revelation or demonic influence that he thinks he may come under, that it's in the book, the holy book speaks of the truth. And why? Because even one of Muhammad's wives was a Christian. She's a Nestorian Christian, by the way. And she taught him a lot of the doctrines from Christianity that were incorporated into the Quran. Muhammad was illiterate, wasn't even literate. He was he was a brutal, violent, head-chopping pedophile. I just, you know, I don't follow that kind of, who wants that kind of religion? All the names of Allah, there's father and love are not there. It's a religion of hate. So women come and say, wait, wait, this Revelation 12 woman, full of Jesus Christ, crushed at the foot of the cross, is the way for Muslims, for anybody who wants eternal life, who wants to become a child of God, because we lost our place in fellowship with our Father, our Creator, in the garden through our sin. We're born in sin and conceived in iniquity. None of us was righteous. No, not one. There's only one righteous without sin. Jesus the Messiah is blameless, spotless, never sinned. And then Revelation 12. 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come God's victory, power, and kingship, and the authority of his Messiah, because the accuser of our brothers, who's that? The serpent, the dragon, who accuses them day and night before God, has been thrown out. And they defeated him because of the Lamb's blood. They came to the foot of the cross. They entered into the door with the blood on the lintels, and the death angel of eternal death passed over them, and they entered into eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He's the door. And because of the message of their witness, because they testified, gave this testimony, even when facing death, they did not cling to life. All right, I want to look at this. It says, and it says war broke out. And so then I heard, and they, verse 11, Revelation 12, 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live there. But woe to you, land and sea. For the adversary has come down to you, and he is very angry, because he knows his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been hurled down to the earth, he went in pursuit of the woman who had given birth to the male child. And this woman was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she could fly to her place in the desert, where she is taken care of for a season, and two seasons, and half a season. See, a season and two seasons. Let's see, that would be three seasons and a half. So that would be about 1,260 days or so, a season, or times and half. A season is 3 months. A season and two seasons. That's three seasons, and a half a season is 45 days. That would be 30, 90, and, you know, a half a season would be, so anyway, it would be 60, 120, and 45. Interesting. All right, you can look it up. You can do the math. Away from the serpent's presence. And the serpent spewed. Now it says time in the, this was in Stearns in the King James, it says 14 times and half a time. It does not say seasons. A time is considered a year, but a season is only 3 months. It's a season. Away she was taken away and hidden from the serpent's presence, and the serpent spewed water like a river out of its mouth after the woman in order to sweep her away into the flood. But the land came to her rescue. It opened its mouth and swallowed up the river, which the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. And the dragon was infuriated over the woman, went out to fight the rest of her children. Those who obey God's commands and bear witness to Yeshua. The fight is on. Make no mistake. And then the dragon stood on the seashore, and the beast rises up. And the beast has risen up. The one, you know, the mark of the beast, 666, that one. The beast has risen up. All right, the woman will bruise his head. The woman full of Messiah, the woman full of the Spirit of God, with the testimony of Jesus and does not love her life even unto death. All right, I'm going to put a link to the current Middle East work that is happening right now so that you may see the work that is going on in the Middle East. Thank you. Only for those who are on this letter, it will not be on my website. Thank you very much. God bless you. Goodbye.